Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Glory Glory Manchester United podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kyle Quinn. And joining me today is our resident Chelsea fan, Hanif, who'll no doubt be delighted after Thursday night's result. How's it going, Hanif?
Doing really well after that crazy game of football.
Yeah, absolutely insane game of football. Manchester United were 2-0 down very early on in the game. And then went 3-2 up, and they were still 3-2 up with 99 minutes on the clock and managed to lose the game, which is totally unacceptable. I think Cole Palmer scored the latest goal in Premier League history. United throwing that away again after so many times this season United have conceded late goals, and in the previous game they did so as well against Brentford. United conceded another 28 shots on goal, 31 against Brentford. Ten Hag keeps playing this down, saying that they're low percentage shots, you know, from outside the area. But I mean, Brentford had 83 touches in United's penalty area. When you can, you know, play down the number of shots you're conceding when you're winning games, but when you're not winning games, it's definitely an issue. United, for me, Ten Hag's tactics, to me, are just basketball. For the last while back, it just seems like United are just trying to outscore the opposition. They're willing to give the opposition a lot of chances in exchange for creating a lot of chances themselves. And, you know, that is not a recipe for winning leagues or even finishing in the top three or four in the league. You need to be able to control games. And both United and Chelsea do not control games. And this is why we got... It's just a crazy, crazy end-to-end football match. Just counter-attack after counter-attack. So what did you make of it all, Hanif?
Before the game, I thought it was going to end as a draw because both teams can score goals. Manchester United can get over the line a lot more, in my opinion. But we both have frailties defensively. Our team does not know how to defend like a team. They've not been able to. It's not Pochettino's fault. They're just very, very raw. They don't like defending. I watch them sometimes and I just think, what are you doing? Why aren't you? There are certain aspects of a football which don't need to be, in my opinion, coached or instilled into midfielders, wingers, tracking their men, you know, watching your player make moves, you know, sticking on them. There's certain things that you shouldn't need to teach a footballer, but it seems a modern day player needs to be taught these things. Mudrik, for example, there were countless times in the first 15 minutes that I saw Aaron Wan-Bissaka just going down the wing, and I just thought, who's following the guy? Thankfully, no one's passing him the ball, but who's following him? And you see Mudrik's on that side. It's just that when the transitions were happening, I saw several players of Chelsea jogging. It was shocking, in my opinion, from a defensive point of view. However, from an attacking point of view, we were amazing. There's no doubt from an attacking point of view. I think when you watch his attack, and I think there were about probably a few goals for both sides where we were both very fortunate that the ball, you know, landed in the correct position for the player, where Onana might have done a little bit better on the shot. I think he didn't see it. I think saw it late. But overall, it was entertaining. It was end-to-end. And I think this is the future of football, unfortunately, Kyle. If you want to be the best, however, you have to be able to control a game. The top teams, and when I mean the top teams, I'm talking about Arsenal, City. They are the top teams. They control games of football. Manchester United and Chelsea can't control a game of football. There is a big difference, in my opinion. I think the good thing about both clubs is we've got youngsters coming through that are the future of our clubs. But then also, there's a lot of work to do. And I know that you're looking at the manager a lot. But I don't think the manager should need to explain to his team that, listen, it's 98 minutes or so, or whatever, or 95 minutes. Just hold on. Let's not lose the game. It's a draw. we'll just accept that, we'll take the point, and we'll get out of here. But I look at Rashford's little cameo, very disappointing. I don't know what you want me to say. Bruno scored. Did he score two?
One.
You get one and one assist. Okay. Yeah. It's, but then his performance was up and down. You just think, I don't get it. It's just odd. Your midfield is, in my opinion, shocking. It doesn't work. Your midfield does not work, and that's why you're losing games, because the defense is always exposed. Defensively, Varane was injured, so I'm assuming he was injured before the game, but he played. He risked him. And whenever I see Maguire playing centre-back, it brings a smile to my face, because I know we're going to get shots off. I really know we're going to take advantage of that. I want Maguire to play, because you know what? I just don't think he's that good. At home, I think, when you're at home, I think he's a lot better, but away from home, I just don't think he's that good, in my opinion. And when Martinez is not next to Varane, you know, it fills me with a lot of confidence, to be fair. But there was loads of good. I thought Anthony played well after 25 minutes. I thought he turned up. You know, you have to give him credit. He's, you know, a lot of people have criticized him, but he played well. He played for most of that game. I thought he played well. Garnacho, I thought, was fantastic. Menu was all right. I saw him body a few of our players, and I could not, but I was just like laughing. I was laughing when we were bodying our players off the ball. I thought it was brilliant. Jackson for us was disappointing, but he's not a striker, he's a winger. But yeah, look, neither team is, as you said, going to achieve anything with the current crop of players playing the way they're playing. In our case, we need time, because in our form is top six in the last 5 to 10 games. So that tells me Pochettino is doing something right. And I hope the board are looking at this, that you can't just hire and fire. I think you're at a different place where you've got your own board now. So technically, Todd Bowley's come in Radcliffe's form. In my opinion, there will be a change. Not because there should be a change, but just because the board will want their own guy. Because when they have those meetings, they'll just be like, let's see what happens at the end of the season. Because one thing for me that stood out when Radcliffe came in was how important the Champions League was. I think that is the target. And I think if he doesn't achieve that, it's a sackable offence. Not from my point of view. I think he should be given another year. But from the board's point of view, because they want their own man. And that's, every board is like that, in my opinion.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I can see that happening. There's just a real shortage of candidates at the moment. And that's probably the one thing that might save Ten Hag. But I think that he will be removed at the end of the season, because, you know, we've still got 8 Premier League games left, potentially 2 FA Cup games. There's going to be more of these performances, like Brentford and Chelsea. Admittedly, United were actually better against Chelsea when they lost than when they drew against Brentford. But those were games that United had to win to be in with a chance of qualifying for the Champions League, and they didn't win either of them. And Ten Hag, as you say, will ultimately be the fall guy. But just come back to some of the incidents in the game. Obviously, we'll have to talk about the winning goal first. Absolutely inexcusable. But Enzo Fernandez takes a quick corner, spots Cole Palmer in space, and 4 United players are pointing to each other to go pick him up, and they don't. Eventually, Mason Mount goes out to him when it's too late, and then the shot deflects off McTominay and past Onana. And before that, Dalot gives away the penalty, softish enough penalty. I thought the Anthony's tackle on Cucurella, I thought that was a penalty, because there was a clash of knees there and it took Cucurella down. But the Dalot one, I mean, they reviewed that for about 10 minutes. And I showed you that it was a debatable decision. But anyway, Dalot gives away the penalty, and then he tries to go on a run, dribbling past the whole Chelsea team to make up for the fact that he gave away a penalty. And you're like, that's what you'd see in an under-12s match. That's what I would do when I was a youngster. If I was responsible for a goal late on, I would then go and try and take it past everybody to score the winner. And you're like, what are you doing? very, very low football IQ shown from Dalot there. And I thought he had a pretty horrendous performance all round, apart from the assist he got for Fernandez's goal. But yeah, I just cannot believe that Cole Palmer was left in acres of space to get a shot away there. That was just amateur hour from Manchester United. Yeah, very much attacks were on top in this game. It really could have been a lot more than just seven goals. But United had actually played some really decent stuff. I mean, they went 2-0 down early doors, and I was thinking at that point that it could be 4 or 5 to Chelsea, because United just don't look interested here. I have to say, Casemiro wasn't even putting in any tackles. Either he was unfit or off the pace, or he just seemed afraid to tackle people, and people were just walking past him. And yeah, it just seemed as if one or two United players were going through the motions again, and they weren't really up for this game. But they got back into it thanks to Moise Caicedo, you know, giving the ball away to Garnacho, who scored after being one-on-one with the keeper. And then it was Garnacho was involved again, laying it off to Dalot, who played a nice cross in for Bruno to head in at the back post. And then probably the ball of the season from Anthony to assist Garnacho, who headed it past the Chelsea goalkeeper. Brave from Garnacho to go in and challenge the goalkeeper like that, and he got there first, because easily a player could get hurt. You know, when a goalkeeper's coming out with his hands and you're going in with your head, you know, you could end up concussed. Well, Garnacho was absolutely fabulous on the day. But that, you know, I've been a huge critic of Anthony, but I'm very happy to wax lyrical about him today, because I agree with you. I thought he was really good in that game. You have to give credit where it's due. And Hanif, you yourself have been a big fan of the player, so I'll let you talk him up for the next 10 minutes.
look, I think there is a player there. There were certain aspects of his game, and I was watching him with one of my relatives, and I said, this is the problem with Anthony is when he runs into space, he tends to pull the ball back and then looks into midfield when he can actually like get to the edge of the box and cross the ball in or do something. And I think it's a part of it. I think that's the part of his game which is very frustrating for Manchester United fans, because they just don't understand why would he slow down and then look into the middle to pass when you don't really need to. But he had a good game, and I think there is a player in there, and I just think it's going to take some time. United have spent a lot of money on Anthony, and if Ten Hag sticks around, he's going to be sticking with Anthony, and you just don't know, because if he ends the season well, then you know a lot of there will be a lot of questions asked about Anthony and his attitude, and you know he's had personal issues, which is understandable, but there is a player there. There is a player that it just depends if he's the type of player that's going to consistently, you know, give you, because the team that I would build the team around Garnacho, Manu and Hoyland, that is the team that, and that's what I would be doing. You've got three good youngsters there. Try and find a decent young centre-back as well. Or you've got Martinez as well. So, and then you've got Onana. So you've got 5 or 6, which should be the core of your team. The only problem is, I think your expectations are too high as Man United fans. I think that when you get a new manager in now, I think you have to give him 3 to 4 years. I don't think it's maybe longer. I just don't think it's as easy as it once was. The landscape of football is changing so rapidly that you look at the team that he inherited, and he inherited some good team plus. You know, you've got the likes of Sancho and stuff. With Ten Hag, there's a lot of questions. That is the only thing. He overachieved last season, in my opinion. I don't think he was supposed to get top four. I thought the season he was supposed to have last season was this season, is what's going on now. I think if this was going on last season, people would not have cared as much. But because he had such a wicked season and the amount of money he spent, that's what's going to go against him and the new ownership. The new ownership is one, in my opinion, is 100% going to get their own man. The problem is when you hear, you know, the newspapers have definitely got nothing on Manchester United. When they're throwing out names like Gareth Southgate, you just think, you know what, God forbid. You know, is that Manchester United just like trying to get a feel from the fan base? Because if they are, they're going to get a very negative feel from the fan base. and it's things like that. But if Gareth Southgate wins with England, he becomes a prime candidate for Manchester United, because he's won something with England that nobody else has done in such a long time. So I think there are a lot of managers out there. I think when you look at some of the European leagues, I think there will be, when you look at the teams that are winning the titles and the teams that are like second or third in respected European leagues, I think there'll be a lot there. I think the problem is that Ten Hag didn't have a board that was secure enough in itself that was going to give him time. At Ajax is different because he had the board there. Now you've got this board. Will they trust him enough? And I think if he doesn't reach top four, I truly believe he will be fired, because they'll just think, you know what, let's just get our own man and we'll back him rather than sticking with this guy. And you can win games ugly. We've seen this over the years. Chelsea did it many times. Ferguson did it many times. It's about getting the win. It's about getting the win. And can you win ugly? United have proven this season that they can't win ugly. It's no surprise where, and let's just put the Chelsea game to one side, you went to Brentford and they absolutely annihilated you. That's unacceptable in terms of the amount of shots that they had and the amount of possession that they had of the ball. This is Brentford we're talking about. Manchester United should be doing better than that. And that comes down to attitude and application. And when things like that don't happen, that means that the manager has to do something about it. Who is he going to pull in and who is he going to drop? And it's not working. And I think that's the problem at Manchester United. Should the manager get sacked? Not in my opinion. I think he should get another year. But will he get sacked? I think he will, because of not achieving top four. But then you look at some of the players. Is Manchester United willing to do what Mikel Arteta did? Make big, bold decisions. Strong decisions that, you know what? I don't care if you're on 300 grand a week. You're going. I've had enough of you. We're going to sell you, even at a loss. Is Man United willing to do that? I don't think they are. I think they're too vested in some of those players. You've got Sancho, Bruno and Rashford. Big, big money. Yeah, you've got them three players on big money. And then you've got to ask yourself, if a new manager comes in, and I don't know how well Sancho's doing in Germany, is he going to give Sancho another chance?
No.
If
no
not, Sancho... So, and if he's not, Sanchez on big money, you're going to have to loan him out again, because you know what? He's not going to get that money anywhere else. Same with Rashford, same with Bruno. These guys are on mega books. And this is the problem we've seen. The thing about Rashford is he tends to have every third season tends to be a really good season for him. And then he just like takes a nosedive. He goes up a little bit, then he takes a nosedive. Yeah. We've seen him before when Ollie came in. A prime example.
We can't keep bringing in a new manager every couple of years to give Rashford a boost. He has to be responsible for his own form. And once again, he came on as a sub. Well, he doesn't normally come on as a sub, obviously, but he came onto the pitch and he just strolled around, letting players walk past him, pretending, to put in effort, just walking or half jogging after people, making it look as if he's working hard, but he's not. So that's what Martial does, basically. You look how hard Garnacho and Anthony work when the other team are in possession. Rashford does not do that, and he's shown himself to be very sensitive to criticism. Even ex-United players who've won a lot of trophies have been on his case this season, and then statement, a 2,000 word essay comes out, which is obviously written by his brother, defending him and giving all the excuses for his form, but and saying about how much he loves the club, and but actions speak louder than words, and that's not what we're seeing on the pitch. But I am convinced that him and Ten Hag are not getting on very well. And if Ten Hag was to stay another season, like you say, Anthony will definitely stay and get another year. But if Ten Hag was to stay, I think there's a possibility that Rashford could go. PSG are going to lose Mbappe this season. Now they're going to be looking for someone to buy. Obviously, they're not going to find anyone who's of the quality of Mbappe. I highly doubt it. So they'd be looking at someone like Rashford, and they could offer big money for him. But Rashford's probably hoping for.
I don't think anyone's going to offer any big money for Rashford. I just don't think. It depends what you mean by big money. Would you accept, if I said to you 40 million, would you accept 40 million?
Well, I would, but I think United would be looking for more than that. Somewhere around the 80 million mark, probably.
I don't see anyone offering crazy money unless you're going to go to Saudi and play there. But it's, I just don't see anyone in Europe spending big money anymore because of the new rules and regs as well. I think even in France, they're going to have some eventually. I just don't see him getting a big contract anywhere else. And I think that's what's going to frustrate Man United fans, because they won't. Really? I don't think once you give the players big money, and I've seen it at Chelsea many times, we've still got Lukaku and he's on 350 grand a week, mate. it's crazy. If you want him out of the club, you're just going to have to loan him out.
It's even worse at Chelsea because you've given players 8-year contracts. And if they flop, then you won't be able to get, it'd be even harder to get rid of them. You just sit there for five, 6 years.
Yeah, that's just the way it is. And that's what I mean, mate. You can't reward players too early. I think if you see something in season two and season three, and you think, you know what, you've been playing amazingly well, you're getting loads of goals. I think Liverpool have got it spot on. The way, you know, they rewarded Salah and Van Dijk and these guys, and they deservedly so. They got into finals. Yeah. They were competing for the league, and you know, deservedly so. But just because you come in one season and you've been amazing, and I think if you look at Rashford's goals and you look back and you just think some of them are, I think it was against Liverpool in the FA Cup this season. He just kicks it. He just kicks and hopes. There's nothing else to that. There's no ability or he's definitely going to score. He just kicks it thinking that, you know what, I'll see if I can get it on target. And he did get it on target and he scored an amazing goal. But I just don't think he's the player that he should have become. His dribbling skills are not that great.
You're referring to the goal in Manchester Derby, I think, from outside the box where it hits off the underside of the bar.
Oh, is that the Manchester Derby? All right. Okay. It's things like that. And I look at Rashford and I think he's a good player. But he's not a good player that's willing to work sometimes. And at the moment, you look at him and you just think, you can't say that you love this club and then come on the pitch for 5 to 10 minutes and not work your socks off. Work your socks off. It's, you know, Chelsea have got a player in Conor Gallagher, right? No one can ever say Conor doesn't work hard. It's crazy. He's the amount of running he does. He's good and he closes the players down. He works his socks off. Ability-wise, he's not the greatest. But I never question his work ethic. We should never question a player's work ethic. But when you are questioning their work ethic, I think then you have to question, do you love the club? You don't love the club as much as you say that you do. Because if you did, you would have tried to do something in front of Cole Palmer. You should have tried to put some pressure on. And I just think it comes down to, if Manchester United really want change, Kyle, you have to get rid of what Roy Keane said. The bluffers are Marcus Rashford, Scott McTominay, Bruno, Maguire, them four or five, right? They, you know, the issues, where are they coming from? The players are the same, but the manager keeps rotating. You know, you had Jose Mourinho who said, I can't believe we finished second with them. That was one of my best achievements. It was like winning a trophy. That's Jose bloody Mourinho saying that.
Yeah,
you know, with the team that with and if you looked at that team that Mourinho had, and then he had that conversation with Rio, and he said, look, if you looked at your team and you looked at my team, it's night and day. It's absolutely night and day, and I still won two trophies with them. And I think those are the types of things that I think you need a strong manager, and you need a board to back the manager and say, look, who do you want to get rid of? I want him to go, because you know what, they've had their chance. They've been under several managers. You need to sell or put them out on loan. And I think that, you know, Kyle, when you make that big step, like Arteta made it, as soon as Aubameyang was out of line, he eventually stripped him of his captaincy and said, see you later. That was the message that was sent. Imagine sending that message to Garnacho, to Manu, to Anthony, to Dalot. Oh, shit, we better put our socks off here. Because if we don't, this manager is willing to get rid. And I think you need to have that approach with some of these players. No player is bigger than the club. But I think Rashford, Bruno, McTominay, Maguire, I think they are bigger than your club at the moment.
because of what's happened. I'm not saying they think they are bigger, but I think generally they're bigger than Man United because you've rewarded them for one season wonders, if that makes sense.
There are players there who know they can outlast a manager, and you've done so several times. Oh, yeah. And I agree that anyone who's been there for more than 4 or 5 years should be moved on because they've had their chance and they haven't produced it for Manchester United. Bruno was magnificent when he first came to the club, but his form has taken a nosedive. I know he scored against Chelsea, but that's been all too rare this season. And he said 80% of his matches, he's been absolutely dreadful, in my opinion, this season. And you know, Rashford just looked completely disinterested. And these players, we need to make ruthless decisions and move these players on. We've seen how Ten Hag has been ruthless with the likes of Sancho, Ronaldo, De Gea. So there's no reason why he can't do that with other players. But I feel as if in Rashford's case that, and this happened with Lingard as well, there's an attachment at Manchester United to players who came through the academy, both when it comes to the hierarchy and the fans. They don't want to let go of academy graduates, even when they're not performing. There's always that love for them. There's still so many fans who won't criticise Marcus Rashford because he's a local lad that came through the academy and he's shown, you know, that he can score 30 goals in a season in the past. So no matter how badly he plays or how horrendous his attitude is on the pitch, you know, people will forgive him and give him another season. But I think the club, as you say, need to be more ruthless than that and move these players on. Maguire was poor there for 2 years, but to be fair to him, you know, he's improved recently. And I know you said that you're glad to see him come on as a Chelsea fan, but I actually don't feel as insecure anymore when he comes on. I think he's a good squad player. I think he's a good squad player. On current form, he was awful for 2 years, but it must have been a mental struggle at times, given he was being lampooned, every touch against Scotland, the Scotland fans were doing ironic cheers. He was being cheered onto the pitch by Arsenal fans earlier in the season. And it must be tough to be treated like that. You know, United fans were booing him all over the world when in pre-season games. But he's come back from that and got into a decent run of form. But as you say, you know, he's far from perfect. He's always got a mistake in him. But I'd be happy to have him around there as a squad player. I think he's only got 1 year left on his deal after this season anyway, and I wouldn't give him an extension on that. I think United need to build a whole new back four. They barely had a left back all season due to the injuries to Shaw and Malacia. Dalot, there's a lot of people in the fan base seem to love him, but I don't rate him at all. Wan-Bissaka is a very limited player, and our centre backs are just constantly injured. The other night was a joke where Varane, just like in the Brentford game, he was signalling to the bench that he needed to come off after about 40 minutes. They waited it out to half time, and he was substituted at half time. And I think in this, Johnny Evans came on for him in this case, and then he had to go off injured. And I thought he was really good when he came on. What I like, Evans unfortunately just doesn't have the body to stand up to the physicality of the Premier League anymore.
The legs are gone, but he's got it up here.
He reads the game very well. He's got it up here. That's what I like about him. He didn't have in his first spell at United, in my opinion. But it's just unfortunate that the legs have gone because he's got it up here. And he had to be substituted as well. And then we're down to, for the Liverpool game, we've only got Maguire fit and Willy Kambwala, the young centre-half, fit. So them two are going to have to be the defensive pairing against Liverpool. And I've got to say to you, and I know we beat them in the FA Cup against all the odds, 4-3, and was probably be an even more dramatic game than the one on Thursday night. But I don't see United doing that again on Sunday. I think we'll lose on Sunday to Liverpool. I know I thought that the last time, but I can't see us beating them twice in a row when they are, you know, better than us by a mile. I mean, see in the second half of that FA Cup match, they dominated possession and somehow didn't manage to make it 3-1 and put the game to bed. I don't think that'll happen again. If they have another half where they dominate possession in this Premier League match, I think they'll put us away, put us to the sword, and that'll be it. And United's injury crisis, I think, is partly down to Ten Hag as well, because it's been well documented by, you know, well-sourced journalists that United's training is very, very intense, and this is why we're picking up muscular injuries. Ten Hag was trying to deny that when he was questioned on it, but I think he's just saving face. Like Van Gaal, who's another Dutch manager, had similar problems with injuries. This is why with so many injuries under Van Gaal that, you know, the likes of Tyler Blackett and Paddy McNair were making their debuts. Rashford himself ended up making his debut due to Martial getting injured in the warm-up. But yeah, it seems something about Dutch managers that seem to work players into the ground in training. We've seen how Mason Mount has picked up three different muscular injuries. I know he had problems at Chelsea as well. There's been over 50 separate cases of injuries or illness this season, keeping a United player out of a game, which is absolutely inexcusable. I think obviously the medical staff have to be looked at as well. I think that Gary O'Driscoll is being tasked with making an overhaul of the medical department. But the amount of losses has been this season, 17 in all comps, 12 in the league. United are just a basketball team with no plan. And like I said, there's so many injuries with Ten Hag has played his part in that with the intense training. So I think that'll not be looked upon favourably when the new people are making their decision. But another thing that's helping them is that, you know, the new board haven't really started yet. I mean, Omar Barada is on gardening leave. So is Dan Ashworth and Jason Wilcox. They haven't sorted out the compensation with Southampton yet for that. And Radcliffe has made it clear that he's going to delegate decisions to Omar Barada. You know, I mean, Radcliffe is just he's a chemicals billionaire. He's not going to, you know, make football decisions himself like Abramovich would have done. He's going to leave that to the experts. So the people who will be in charge of deciding Ten Hag's future are not currently in post, is what I'm trying to say. So that is helping them survive. But a decision will be made, you know, at the end of the season, I feel. But I'm starting to feel that United are so bad in the league that even if they manage to, they should beat Coventry in the FA Cup semi-final, although nothing's a guarantee with this United team. But in the final, they're going to have to play Chelsea or City. And, you know, obviously I prefer to play Chelsea again. But the likelihood is that City will make it to the final. And I just don't see any way in which we'll beat them. But even if we did win the FA Cup, I don't think that'll be enough to save Ten Hag. It wasn't enough to save Van Gaal, 8 years ago? I just think you mentioned it yourself earlier in the show that Radcliffe said in an interview how important it was to qualify for the Champions League this season, because it'll help United with their transfer budget, especially with all these financial rules now, which United have been careful not to break, and profitability, sustainability rules, or it's a new term. Is it? It used to be called. There was a term. There's a new term for it now.
Financial fair play.
It used to be called financial fair play (FFP). It's called something else.
It's called sustainability or something like that.
PSR or something like that. Yeah. It'd be pretty galling if there was five Champions League places and United still didn't qualify. That's probably a sackable offence in itself. So I agree with you. I think I know about 50% of the United fans want to see Ten Hag given another year, but like you say, you know, new owners always want to bring in their own man. And I don't see a scenario where they're going to replace the entire board, replace the medical team, and then just keep him. It just doesn't seem realistic to me. But I want to talk about the game, other elements of the game from last night. What did you make of Mason Mount's been doing well in the cameos that he's had for United recently since he came back from injury, obviously scored against Brentford. But last night, at 3-each, he made a crucial intervention. I think Enzo was about to get on the end of a cross and top it in, but Mount made a crucial interception and got the ball away. But he was clearly trying really hard to be on the winning team on Thursday night, given the reception that he got from the crowd. He was being booed even before he came on. And then him and Enzo had a bit of a argy-bargy, and it's been quoted by ESPN what Enzo actually said to him, which wasn't very friendly, to say the least.
That's been absolutely, you know, that's over the top reporting from ESPN. That's just competitiveness. That's all that is.
So apparently he said to him, "This is Chelsea. You see, you card." And to me, what Enzo was doing there is sucking up to Chelsea fans. It is exhibitionism, in my opinion. It was totally unnecessary. And he knows that Chelsea fans are not... there was someone else holding up a Judas 19 shirt near the corner flag, and they were booing him. And he knows Mason Mount is not loved anymore by a large section of the Chelsea fans. So he's playing to the crowd there, in my opinion. The only thing that I was worried about, even before that, they came nose to nose, and I was worried that Mountain was going to throw his head forward and get a red card. Thankfully, he didn't do that. I think he just shoved them in there, but it all seemed a bit unnecessary. But we do know that South Americans do like to get involved in things like that. They like to rile up their opponents, and there can be some nasty behaviour from South Americans, but. It is what it is. I think he was just playing to the crowd, really. And thankfully, Mason didn't bite. Andy Mitten, who covers United, and he was there at the game, he said he was talking to a Chelsea fanzine, and they still love Mason Mount for his achievements at the club, and he felt from that there's going to be a mixed reception tonight. But it seemed to me, it sounded on TV as if the majority of the crowd were booing him. What's your thoughts on Mason Mount then, Hanif?
I'll be honest with you, right? You have to kind of expect this. Imagine if that were Roy Keane for Manchester United, you'd be like, "Yeah, that's our guy." What happens on the pitch stays on the pitch. I'm not gonna lie. ESPN are the last people I listen to when it comes to football. They don't have a clue when you listen to some of their panel speaking about the game, in my opinion. But listen, Mason Mount, you know, he cemented himself in Chelsea's history. Whether Chelsea fans appreciate it or not, he's played a very big role in them achieving the second Champions League title. He's not going to be called a legend, in my opinion, but he's going to be a player that will be remembered for that trophy, for providing the assist. And look, we all know why he didn't stay with us. We didn't pay him the money that United were willing to pay. And I think that's what hurts Chelsea fans the most, that, you know, he could have stayed, but he left us for the money. And that's fine. That's his choice. But you can't fault the talent. He is a talented young man. If they can, United can keep him fit, which I think would be very difficult, because he's played too much football since he was young, then you've got a player on your hands there.
Yeah, we've seen at various points this season, and particularly in the last few games, that there is a player there, very, very competent player on the ball, very intelligent player, and never gives the ball away, always makes the right pass, and obviously he can score with his left foot and his right foot, can take free kicks as well, hand corners. So if he stays fit for a sustained period, then he will have a big impact, a positive impact for Manchester United. I think injuries are going to be inevitable for him now. I'm just hoping that, you know, next season he can play the majority of the season and doesn't miss too many games. If he can stay fit for 6 months without an injury, he's going to have a huge impact for Manchester United. He's a player I rate highly, and is beginning to show his ability. But if he ends up like Martinez and picks up another injury in the next couple of weeks, it's going to start to feel like it's
never going to happen. You have to manage these players, especially the ones that are injury prone. Ten Hag should not be killing them in training. I think it was Man City that they were saying that Pep's trainings, Pep does a lot of light training.
Yes, that's so, right. Yeah,
you listen to stuff like that, and you just think, you know, it depends on how close and how many days you have for the recovery, how many days for like hard training, and then you. In my opinion, shouldn't you ease off at the end?
but maybe I don't know anything about the coaching side, but that's how I would see it, because I'd want him to be ready on the day. But if Pep is doing something different, surely United and other teams should be looking at that, especially if you're collecting so many injuries. Arsenal used to suffer a lot of injuries, and I think they internally looked at what they were doing, and look at them now.
Yeah, I can see the logic in intense training in pre-season, because they're coming back from being off for a while. But when you're playing twice a week, I know United haven't always been playing twice a week this season, you should be just doing light sessions in between games. And obviously I'm just speaking as a layman, but that makes logical sense to me. Martinez, now I'm extremely worried. He was out injured from September to January. Then he was injured again in February, out for another 8 weeks, and then injured again after making one sub appearance against Brentford. That's deeply troubling. And it's a different injury every time. And it must be down to him being killed in training, as you say. And another thing I forgot to mention was Facundo Pellistri, who's now on loan at Granada. He said after training sessions at United under Ten Hag that he was absolutely exhausted and he could barely walk. Well, that just backs up what the journalists have been saying about the intense training at United. It's too much, and we're picking up too many muscular injuries. And either Ten Hag's going to have to change his ways, or somebody else is going to have to come in and do training very differently. Something else I want to mention was, and I know this is not, you know, Manchester United related, but I do have to mention it, and it is what a fabulous player that Cole Palmer is. What a tremendous season that he's having for Chelsea, and looks like a bargain at 42.5 million. He actually is so good that he could easily start for Manchester City. I know they probably gave him away or sold him because they wanted to balance the books. But he's a player that could start for anyone in the Premier League, and you're probably just glad to have him there. His goals and assists record is phenomenal. And he's probably exceeded expectations in his first season at the club. You probably yourself didn't think that he'd be this good this early. Am I right?
For 100%, I thought if we just get a decent season from him, but Man United have got Kobbie Mainoo in midfield and Garnacho. We've got Cole Palmer. It's as simple as that. We need that special someone since Hazard has left, and he is that special someone. He's still young. If you'd have heard me during the Liverpool game, he got a lot of stick from me. I don't care how old he is. I have very high expectations that is when you're in front of goal, especially as an attacking player. But you know, really happy seeing what we're seeing. Fantastic talent, which will only get better with better players around him. I think next season will be a good test, because players then now know what to expect from Cole Palmer. So there will be a lot more. I think he'll be man-marked a lot more. Players will know what to expect. And as a result of that, he might have to change some of his game to adapt his game. But look, really happy with him. He's one of a few rare joys that we've had this season. And he's absolutely phenomenal. The talent is unbelievable. And he's someone that I think that Chelsea could build a team around and be very successful in the future with.
Something else very unique happened in this game, in that Alejandro Garnacho was given the man of the match. And he was inexplicably substituted, by the way, by Ten Hag. You know, we're only 3-2 up, the game wasn't won, and he was our biggest threat on the counter-attack. Why on earth would you take him off? I didn't mind Mason Mount coming on, but Garnacho was not the man that I would have taken off. And he was very, very unhappy about it. You could see it in his face. But Garnacho was initially given the man of the match. And then after the final whistle went, it was changed by the broadcaster and given to Cole Palmer instead, because he'd got a hat-trick, albeit it was two penalties and a deflection. But yeah, it's very rare you would see someone get man of the match after 90 minutes and then it's changed to somebody else once the game's over. So there was a couple of wee unique elements to that game. And of course, you know, Palmer scoring the latest goal in Premier League history. So it was great to watch from an Egypt point of view. But to me, it was just two very average teams. And that was obvious to most observers, you know, because there was no real strategy to what either team was doing. It was just attack and counterattack, attack and counterattack, and there was no control by either team. But give me that any day over Man City versus Arsenal, which was a very dull affair with no goals and very few chances. Unfortunately, those are the teams challenging for the title, and we are teams that are struggling in mid-table mediocrity. Now, a United win would have left them 11 points clear of Chelsea. As it is, Chelsea are now 5 points behind United with the game in hand, I believe. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Chelsea could even catch United. It's been an even bigger embarrassment to Ten Hag. But let's see how it goes. There's still 8 games left for United and presumably 9 games left for Chelsea. Yeah, that's correct. Just a quick rundown of United player ratings. These are going to be very, very up and down. Onana, I don't think, was at fault for any of the goals. But, well, actually, he was. The Conor Gallagher one, he might have been blindsided, but he got a hand of that, and I felt he should have kept it out, to be honest with you. I know he's not been as bad as what he was in the first half of the season, and there has been a marked improvement, and there have been more consistent performances. But there's still that. There's still mistakes in, and there's still shots that just go through his hands and into the net, which, and he's dropping the odd ball as well. So I don't have complete confidence in him. So I will give him a 5 out of 10. Wan-Bissaka, yeah, he's looked very poor recently, and something that really annoys me about him is that his concentration, playing people onside, playing Ivan Toney onside in that game, which led to the equalizer, falls asleep, doesn't defend the back post very well, and obviously very limited player going forward. So that would be a 4 out of 10 for him. Harry Maguire, yeah, I think he was okay. I think not brilliant. And the problem is with the United defence is, as you say, the midfield provides no protection, so they're constantly under pressure. He took down one of the Chelsea attackers on the edge of the box and got a booking for it. I remember that. But he made some crucial interventions as well. It's a difficult one. He did concede 4 goals and all that. Not all his fault, of course. So I'll just say 5 out of 10. Rafa Varane only played 45 minutes again. It would be a 5 for him. Diogo Dalot, I think, was a disaster on the night, even though it was a game where he got an assist. And, you know, played his role in the 3-3 equalizer and the winning goal as well, you know, by trying to take it past everybody when we should have just settled for the draw at that point. It was, like I said, something a youngster would do. I'm responsible for a penalty. I'm going to try and take it past everybody now and score the winning goal. Like, it's just utterly laughable. So I'll give him a 2 because he got the assist. Casemiro, really, really poor performance. Looking like a guy who's long past the sell-by date. Very difficult to come to the Premier League. When you've been used to La Liga and the Portuguese League and for most of your career, and come to the Premier League at 30 is very, very difficult. Had a great first season, but looks like he's struggling now. And he's picking up muscular injuries, which he never did at Real Madrid. So that's another sign that the training is really intense. But yeah, I think United will need to move him on in the summer. I think him and Varane will both go to one of the Saudi clubs. So Casemiro a 4. Koi Manu, a good performance. He's the only player capable of controlling games for United, which doesn't say much for the rest of the midfielders when he's 18 years old. And as you say, you know, he's bodying Chelsea players out of the way. What I love about him is he can't get the ball off him in a phone box. He reminds me of Iniesta in a way. He has such great feet. I'll give him a 6. Bruno Fernandes, another very up and down performance. If he hadn't scored, he probably would have got a low score, but I suppose he scored, so I'll give him a 6. But he's just a very unreliable player at the moment, and someone that I would consider selling, given that he's 30 in September and it's the last opportunity to get any money for him. I just think he's been very, very disappointing recently. And Rasmus Højlund, another very lonely game for him, playing number nine by himself, and not much service. We felt sorry for him against Brentford because he's playing against three centre halves, and they were absolutely all over him anytime the ball was played to him with his back to goal. And I think he only had one chance in the whole game, but in this game, it wasn't his day either. I don't remember him having a single chance in this game. He was in such great form till he got injured, and that's obviously killed his momentum, which is unfortunate. I hope he can get back to that form again, which he showed in January, February, where he was scoring in basically every game for Manchester United. So it's a 5 for Højlund, and here come the high scores for Anthony and Garnacho. Anthony, I'll give him a 7. He was outpacing Cucurella down that side so many times. I was surprised at, because you don't associate pace with Anthony. I don't think Cucurella is any slouch either. And there's a lot of variety in this play for a change, and obviously played that wonder ball for Garnacho's goal. So 7 for Anthony, and Garnacho gets a 9 for scoring twice and was involved in the other goal as well. Unlucky to be taken off. Now, Johnny Evans only lasted 21 minutes, and he was good again, but again, his legs have gone. So 6 for Johnny Evans, and Marcus Rashford, by pure cameo, he would get a 3, and the other subs came on very late. Kambala came on, thought he was decent, he made some important blocks. It looks like he's going to start against Liverpool because there's no choice, so I give him a 6 pop. And Mason Mount came on very, very late, and so did McTominay. And Ten Hag probably gets a 2 out of 10 for losing that game. And you know, and that was down to 82 seconds of madness. You know, had United won that game, Ten Hag probably would have got a 7. But that's the way things have been for United this season. We have conceded so many goals from leading.
I think you've lost more games than us in the league.
Yeah, we've lost the most amount of games in a season since 1989-90 season. We actually won the FA Cup that season as well, so that might be an onum.
You lost 12 games. You lost 10.
Statistically, it's our worst season for 34 years in terms of the amount of games that we lost. That's another reason why I don't see Ten Hag being kept on with all the other changes happening around him. And this season, I think we've been involved in 5 4-3s. Some have been losses, some have been wins. We've conceded so many goals within 10 minutes of scoring or 10 minutes of conceding. So we have a habit of conceding after we've scored, or conceding again after we've conceded, you know, very quickly, and not being able to see out games. That's twice in 5 days where we have been in a winning position deep into stoppage time and we didn't come away with the points. So we dropped 5 points against Brentford and Chelsea from winning positions, you know, very, very late on, which is inexcusable. So Liverpool is next at Old Trafford. United surprised everybody by winning after extra time in the FA Cup match. How do you see this one going, Hanif?
You're getting battered, mate. 3-1.
Just 3?
I think it's a... Yeah. Well, if you can teach them how to park the bus and counter-attack, you might have a chance. But I just think Liverpool, because they're going for the league, and they just won it this season. Plus, it's Klopp's last season, so they're going to go all guns blazing, in my opinion. It's not a good game to have. And I think this could be a defining game for Ten Hag, because if you lose, because obviously Brentford, I thought you'd have won. Chelsea, draw, possibly win. This one, if you get anything out of Liverpool, you've done well. but I just don't see it. I just, you know, a team that's already lost twice this season and they're competing for the league, I just don't see it beating them. I just really don't. I think they're a far superior team than Manchester United are. And I just think they've got too many goals in them.
That's true, but Liverpool are not pulling up any trees in any games recently. Arsenal have been the side that have been battering opponents, whereas Liverpool are just getting the job done and nothing more. I mean, they needed a wonder goal from Alexis McAllister in the 76th minute to take the lead against Sheffield United. I mean, you wouldn't.
Getting it done though, aren't they? I just think that because it's at Anfield as well, isn't it? Is it at Anfield?
No, it's at Old Trafford.
Oh, you might have a chance then. Put a draw.
United actually got a 0-0 draw at Anfield at Christmas time, which nobody expected that either. You know, Klopp has quite a patchy record against Ten Hag since Ten Hag arrived in England. Ten Hag has won 2, Klopp has won 1, and there's been a draw. And obviously the one that Klopp won was 7-0, which is a blemish on Ten Hag's record. But Ten Hag has won more games against Klopp than Klopp has against him. It'd be good if they kept that record going. For me, we're not even playing for Champions League football anymore. I think that ship is sealed. This game is about stopping Liverpool from winning the league. And I'm hoping United can get at least a draw and, you know, dent their chances. If they win this game, that'll be a huge psychological boost to them going into the final fixtures of the season. I'm desperate for United to get some kind of result in this game and help out the other title challengers. Liverpool is the team we want to win least. Then probably Arsenal, because their fans are insufferable as well. And City, we're just used to them winning now. And, you know, it's all tainted anyway, you know, the 115 charges. You know, they could be stripped of these titles. They could be relegated. Nobody really believes that this is genuine. It's just a football club on steroids. So I don't really mind if they win it again. I do mind. I don't want them to win it. But out of their lesser of three evils, in my opinion, and say all the United fans would agree with that too. Obviously, in terms of United fan base, nobody wants Liverpool to win the league. It's a toss-up between whether you want Arsenal or City to win it. And some might say
I want someone new to win it. I wouldn't mind as a Chelsea fan. I wouldn't mind Arsenal winning the league. I just think it makes the Premier League better if Arsenal were to win it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have thought about that myself. I think it'd be good for the Premier League if a new team won it. I mean, Arsenal haven't won it for 20 years now.
Did you want?
Yeah. And if, you know, City or start to dominate the league, then it becomes a bit like the Bundesliga. Or, ironically, though, Bayern Munich are not going to win the league this season. Bayer Leverkusen are running away with it. They only need 3 wins now, Leverkusen, to confirm their league title. And still within a chance of winning the treble as well, I think, Leverkusen, which includes the Europa League.
Kyle, have you seen how big clubs move? Have you seen what Bayern did? They said, you know what? It's been amazing. We're going to have to let you go at the end of the season. You've got the Champions League. You can go for that. But it's been amazing. Thank you so much. We're going to go in a different direction. That's how big clubs move.
Yeah.
I know it's a ruthless approach, but for them, the league title is very important that they cement it all the time.
Yep.
It's their league title. They deserve to be winning that title. And that's how you send a message out.
Yeah, although I doubt any Bayern fan would say it's been amazing under Thomas Tuchel. I don't think any of them have really loved his time in charge. Even when they won the league on the last day of the season by default last year when Dortmund failed to get a winner against Mainz at home. And, you know, Bayern snuck it on the last day. And this season they've been blown away by Leverkusen, been thoroughly outplayed by them as well in the games that they've played against them. And Tuchel's got nowhere near it. It's been a pretty poor spell if you're a Bayern fan under Tuchel. So, but like you say, it was ruthless to basically tell him that he's going at the end of the season. I assume his contract must be up at the end of the season because...
I think that'd be a clause in it, won't they? Just say, you know what?
I think that's how these big clubs are saying, like, look, it's not gone the way we thought. You're not going to meet the objective. If you don't meet the objectives, we do have a clause in the contract to say we're going to go in a different direction and we'll pay you, I don't know, another year's worth of salary or something.
I think the reason why United have not done that with Ten Hag is because they don't want to ruin United's chances of winning the FA Cup. They want to give United the best possible chance of winning that trophy. So they don't want to make a disruption in that way by announcing that the coach time is up. Because then the players could then just completely down tools if they know that Ten Hag is going anyway. But so they're not going to interfere, at least until the FA Cup campaign is concluded. And then we'll probably get an announcement on what's happening with the manager. But they're taking their time to assess the situation. But he hasn't done himself any favours with the losing at home to Fulham, the Brentford performance, and then losing that game in horrendous circumstances last night from a winning position. Thursday night. We've heard from reliable journalists that the results against Fulham and Brentford were not looked upon favourably by the new owners, and I doubt, and they were there in the VIP section of Stamford Bridge watching that chaotic finish to the game, and they won't be impressed by that either. And the manager, as we know in football, is always the fall guy. So I could see United losing more games now at the end of the season, so I just don't see him being kept on. If they can find someone that they think is capable of managing Manchester United and doing well at the club, and who will be accepted by the fans, then they'll make that change. Unfortunately, I'm not sure Southgate and Graham Potter fit into that category, though. I think you're right in what you were saying, that I think during the international break, all the stories about Southgate came out, and I think that was the new owner just putting the feelers out there to see how the fans would feel about that. And they should have known anyway that the fans were going to reject that. Despite Southgate getting to a semi-final and the final, he's just not rated that highly by most football fans in England. But might people look differently upon him if England were to win the Euros this year? But then, even at that, he hasn't managed a club since 2009, and that was when he took Middlesbrough down to the Championship. Is he equipped then to take on Manchester United, the biggest juggernaut in world football? I don't think so. It's very, very different managing international football to managing a club, especially a club the size of Man United. So I wouldn't advise making that decision if I was advising Jim Radcliffe's team. So feeling that they're going to have to be looking at the likes of Julian Nagelsmann or Simone Inzaghi or someone like that.
That's what I want at Chelsea. I want Simeone. I want a disciplinarian. I just want someone ruthless. I think just because our defense is shocking.
He is such a Chelsea manager, Simeone. Such a pragmatic coach. And you've had a few of those down the years. Obviously, Mourinho being an obvious one, but Dave Sexton being another one who managed Manchester United. I think Dave Sexton is the first manager to win a European trophy at Chelsea, I believe. But at United, he wasn't liked because he came after the Dock, and the Dock played such expansive attacking football, whereas Dave Sexton was more a pragmatic coach. And despite winning his last seven games in charge, he still got the sack because some fans were not going to games anymore because they were bored. But Chelsea seemed to like that type of coach, someone who's pragmatic, keeps clean sheets and wins trophies that way. Chelsea fans don't seem to mind that as much. There's other clubs in England, and United are one of them, that are very snobby when it comes to coaches. They want to have, they want to win in style, whereas Chelsea fans don't seem to mind that very much. They don't mind, a more pragmatic approach. So I think Simeone would I think Chelsea fans would welcome him. But he has shown no sign of leaving Atletico Madrid. I mean, he's been there since 2011. Been there since 2011 now. He must be, you know, Ferguson was at United for 26 years, but in terms of current managers, Simeone must be one of the longest reigning managers in Europe. Yeah, because in these days, coaches don't normally last that long. I mean, even Klopp has only lasted 9 years at Liverpool. I know he took the decision himself to step down, but Simeone is now on his 13th year, which is very, very unique in today's game. But we'll leave it there. Hanif, thanks for coming on, as always. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers, mate. Thank you so much for having me.
And I'll be sure to have you on the show again, especially when United are playing Chelsea, which obviously happens at least twice a year. Might even happen in the FA Cup final. Who knows? Might be having you on at the end of May.
We could do with the trophy.
And you've got two draws against City already this season, so it's not beyond the realms of possibility that you could get a result in that semi-final.
Yeah, I know. I think City are exist right now, so I'm not really looking forward to playing them in the FA Cup final. But it's up to the boys if they can defend. And they
Yeah, and Chelsea have saved their best performances for the biggest teams this season, if my memory serves me correctly. Been some poor results against the likes of Brentford and Burnley and teams like that, but Chelsea have played well in a lot of the big games this season, so they will need to do so again.
It's up and down. It's the form at the moment is top six, last 5 to 10 games. So Pochettino's getting it right. It's just that these lads, they don't like defending. The midfield and the wingers, they don't like defending at all. It doesn't fill him with much confidence. And whenever you have a young team and you put players together in such a short space amount of time, they're going to make mistakes. So, you know, it's only going to get better. That's all I could say.
Yeah, definitely. If Chelsea finish the season strongly, then Pochettino gives himself a chance of being there next season.
I think if he finishes top eight, he'll be fine. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you so much, mate. Take care.
All right. See you later.